Well, our text this morning is from Matthew 5, a very familiar verse, one verse, which says, and you know it, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I'm speaking on the topic, the pure in heart see God. So let's pray before we proceed. Father, what a joy to be together on the Lord's Day morning. One of the final ones of this year. We are so blessed to be here. And we are thankful. Thankful for the body of Christ universally, that she gathers this day around the world. Lord, whether in Jordan or Romania or Lebanon or Afghanistan or right here in Texas, we thank you that your people are worshiping you. And we are a part. You've included us. Oh Lord, what mercy that we have not been left out. Glory be to God. And we come today grateful for the sharing of the saints and the prayers of the saints and the singing of the songs of God. Lord, what a glorious thing it is to worship God with your people. Thank you, Lord, so much. And thank you for the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Whether it's the NASB or the King James or the New King James or the ESV, we thank you for the Holy Word of God, which is able to make us wise unto salvation, which is able to save us today, which is able by your Spirit to transform our minds and renew our hearts and fit us to be more useful for the Master. Bless your word now. For Jesus' sake, we pray in and through him, according to your will, Father. Amen. There's a wonderful Welsh hymn that I have loved for a long time by Vernon Higham. And it has in it as good of a line as I've ever heard in a hymn. And here's the line. Our God is the end of the journey. Isn't that good? Our God is the end of the journey. And if that's true, that He is the end of our journey, then how do we make that journey well to the end? And our text is the answer, by seeing God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now remember in Hebrews 11, it says that Moses endured how? By seeing him who is invisible. The Christian sees invisible things all the time that the world cannot see because the world doesn't have eyes to see. But Jesus said, remember in Matthew 13, Jesus said, blessed are your eyes, for you have seen these things. Now the Beatitudes are kingdom realities that describe those who are in the kingdom. But in addition to being poor in spirit or mourning over sin or being meek or merciful, believers are pure in heart. Scripture says. But it's not just the mature and older Christian that has a pure heart. It's every Christian. Every single Christian has a pure heart. Now, though the entire Sermon on the Mount is really about the heart, it's not about externals, is it? external, the Pharisees had an external righteousness, but Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, unless your righteousness exceeds their righteousness, you won't even be in the kingdom. So the Sermon on the Mount is all about the heart, but only in this verse 8, in the Beatitudes, does Jesus mention the heart, at least in the Beatitudes. And Jesus always, didn't he? He always aimed at the heart. And he still does. He still does. Because the heart is the fountain, the Bible says, of all the issues of life. Out of the heart flow all the issues of life. The heart is what Christianity and Christian experience is all about. The heart is what we're to take heed to, Scripture says. The heart is the source of all of man's troubles and all of man's sins. In fact, the heart is the difference between heaven and hell. Because where a man's heart is, so will he be. Scripture says that God looks at the heart. He searches the heart. He knows the heart, and praise God, He changes the heart. So we must get a pure heart, because only the pure in heart see God. So what does it mean to have a pure heart? And how do we see God? Well, the term pure here in pure heart means simply cleansed, washed, purified, where it's new, a new and different heart. Now, that's the promise of the new covenant. It takes our minds to, for instance, Jeremiah 31 and Ezekiel 11, where God promises in the new covenant, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will put my laws on their hearts and on their minds. So regeneration of the heart does this. God gives a pure heart in Christ, and now the believer's heart is alive and is pure for the first time. A pure heart is given by the Holy Spirit, and it is permanent. Your heart can never go back to the way it used to be if you're a Christian. You now have a pure heart, and therefore you now are seeing with spiritual eyes the Lord. Seeing the Lord. The new heart is permanent, and it's radically changed, and it therefore experiences the greatest thing possible. It sees God. What a phenomenal reality. And the heart is transformed permanently in every way. Now, is it categorically and absolutely and dogmatically true that every Christian has a pure heart? Yes, it is. The Old Testament and New Testament authors declare that believers have pure hearts. For instance, Psalm 73:1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to those who are what? Of a pure heart. 2 Timothy 2. Paul says, pursue righteousness and peace and love and faith along with those who call on the Lord out of what? A pure heart. 1 Peter 1, having purified your souls, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. All believers have a pure heart. You can't know God. You can't love Christ. You can't see the things of the kingdom or even be in it without having now a pure heart. So what is promised to the pure in heart? They shall see God. Now, brethren, these Beatitude promises in Matthew 5, they progress, don't they? poor in spirit and mourning and getting comforted and getting satisfied and being called children of God. But the greatest promise in these is this one. The pure in heart, what's the promise? They shall see God. Would you rather kind of be a little meek that's genuine or see God? Well, I'll take the latter. They shall see God Himself. And where do we see God Himself? In the face and in the person of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's where men and women and boys and girls, for the first time, spiritually, by the Spirit, see God. Every believer sees God. That's the promise. Now think about it. The reality, Jesus says this, He who has seen me has seen the Father. Beloved, if you've seen the glory of Jesus Christ, in the face of Christ, you have seen the Father, He said. Now think about how primary seeing is and how special seeing is. I mean, if you're anticipating a time with someone, you don't say, I sure am looking forward to hearing you. No, what do you say? I can't wait to see you. Seeing is better than hearing. Isn't it? You hear your wife's voice on a trip, or you're even Zooming with a friend and you see them artificially. It's not incarnationally. But when you're together and you actually see them. You know, it's one thing to hear about the Grand Canyon. It's another thing to see a great documentary on it. But it's altogether different. The first time you walk to the edge of it. Wow. Right? Seeing is experiencing. And this text says the believers that have a pure heart, they see God. In reality, all of their life. Now here in verse 8, in this beatitude, it's translated this way. They shall be continually seeing God themselves. They shall continually be seeing God themselves. How do they do that? With the eyes of the heart. Not with these eyes. With the eyes of your understanding, which the Apostle Paul prayed for the Ephesians. Truly seeing God, not through visions or special revelation, but experientially with your heart. You behold the Lord. You behold the glory of the Lord. Blessed are your eyes. So what does it mean to see God, and how do we actually see Him? It means spiritual sight and understanding. Do you experience this ever as a professing Christian? Where beyond the information of Bible reading, beyond the information of hearing sermons, the truth comes to you with a force. And suddenly you're confronted in your heart and your mind with the presence of one who's made real to you in that moment. And the eyes of your heart are enlightened. And God in that moment, through the truth by the Spirit, is real to you. The eyes of your heart being enlightened. Now, we have eyes that can see, the eyes of our heart and the eyes of our understanding. Now, Jesus isn't speaking here just about seeing him in heaven only in the future. There's much more that he's saying here. Because of all the places in the Gospels and in the epistles that the writers talk about spiritual sight now in the present life as we journey. So the believer sees God in two ways, and these are my two points. I may or may not get to point number two. Number one, the believer sees God in the present now. And number two, in the future then. In the present now, in the future then. So point number one, the believer's heart sees God in the present now. Now the primary text I want you to turn to and look at with me for this is 2 Corinthians 4. I want you to see it because it is so wonderful. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 6, Paul speaks about this reality. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now notice this. Let's just pause here. Where does this experience originate that he's speaking of here? It's God who does something. What does God do here? He commands. What does he command? He commands light. Where does he command it to come from? Right out of the darkness, suddenly light shows up. Where does that light shine? It shines in your heart and mine. This, anybody that would deny Christianity is experiential and supernatural, they need to read and believe this verse. God commands light spiritually to come out of and into your darkness, and he shines the light into your heart. And what is that light? It's the light of knowledge. What knowledge? It is the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And suddenly, when that happens, has it happened to you? When that happens, your dungeon, like Wesley, flames with light, and you see the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ. This is why, though having not seen him, to you he is precious, because you have seen him in a spiritual way. We see God in Christ. Now, brethren, we've already seen him, and that is why, to the believer, Christ is precious. Because of Christ, our eyes have been opened to see the Lord in everything. And this vision of God, the vision of God, is the goal of the pure in heart all of their life. What should your vision be? What should your purpose be? What should your agenda be? Seeing God all the days of my life. Everything will flow out of that and through your life. The vision of God is the goal of the pure in heart all of their days, because God is the end of the journey. So, we don't realize how multifaceted the ways are that we are seeing the Lord all the time. Just think about it for a moment, because this is how you see the Lord if you're a Christian. We see the Lord through, first of all, the Bible, right? More about Jesus would I know. We see the Lord in the pages of Scripture. You read and you learn of his life. More about Jesus, what I know, more of his love to others show. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every page. We see the Lord more continually as we are in the Word. You read it and you see Christ and you're changed. You desire him. You learn of him. You see his example. You see his work. You see his glory. We learn of him and we see him through the Bible continually. And that's the mirror by which we see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also see the Lord spiritually through the church, don't we? How much have you seen Christ in your brothers and sisters over the years? How much have you seen the Lord through the ministry of the church? One brother to another, one sister to another. Fellowship, heart to heart fellowship, and you're built up in Christ and you see more clearly because of the church. We see the Lord in prayer. As you take your heart to the Lord in prayer and you're communing with him and he comes and suddenly your vision is just more clear, the clouds of discouragement lift and part and there's a blue sky in your heart and your heart is toward the Lord. You see the Lord through prayer. Also, we see the Lord by reading his providences in our life. God comes in providence, Jonathan, the right time as far as the God, his ways are perfect, and we see God's providence. And God, we see the glory of Jesus Christ. We see God in and through our suffering and our trials. We see him. It's then that the Lord often comes and reveals himself and draws near, and he meets with us. And you see him, and you say, Lord Jesus, with you I can go through this. With you, I can take it. With you, I can recover. With you, I can conquer. Through you, Lord, by seeing you, by setting my eyes upon you. We see the Lord by walking in faith and living in faith. The Lord is more made more real to us. By faith, Moses endured by seeing. We persevere, Hebrews says, by looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Seeing Christ. If you have a pure heart, you look for regularly and you see God in things more and more. In your marriage, you see the wife, the husband God gave you, and as you're both looking to Christ, you see the Lord in your spouse. What a blessing they are to me. What a help. How Christ-like. How they minister to me. In your marriage, you see Christ in your family. In your sin, in those moments, the Holy Spirit lifts your eyes off of yourself and you see the Savior who bore your sin, and they're forgiven. And you see his goodness and grace. Men in your job, single ladies in your job. Here's how you view it if you're pure in heart. God gave me this job. He's my provider, and he's the one I'm going to please in the job. You see God in your job. In school, children, college students, you do it unto Christ. He's the one I'm pleasing in my studies for the future. On vacation and travel, you take a trip. And what does the Lord want for us on this trip? You don't leave him back behind. No, you see God in the trip. Lord, what do you have? What do you want for us? How good of the Lord to give us this trip. Can you believe that Grand Canyon? What an accident it is through evolution. No. Glory to God. I'm in awe of God. Not in awe of the canyon. The canyon, yeah, maybe first, but the one who made it is better than the canyon. We see God in all things, beloved. In observing holidays, we don't see ghosts or goblins. We see Reformation Day, October 31st, when God in history clarified justification by faith more, and we benefit from that day, October 31st. To this day, we see God in holidays. We don't just see food and family on the fourth Thursday of November, nor just pilgrims and Indians and a new world. We see God's great goodness and fruitfulness and faithfulness to us, and we are thankful. And we don't see Santa and bunny rabbits and holidays. We see the virgin birth Son of God and the risen Christ. That's what believers see. Because the pure in heart see God. In earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes, we see the power of God. The world doesn't see it. In wars and rumors of wars, we see God at work in history. In our daily food and drink, we see Jesus, the bread of life, and the water of living water. In the Lord's table, we don't see dead symbols. We see the life-giving death of the Son of God paying for our sins. And there we see God acting for us. Every believer can see God in one drop of dew on one blade of grass. The glory of God's revealed. Or in a newborn calf, God is there and He's glorified. In the birth of a child, in the death of a loved one, even a child, our sight is the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The believer sees God in all of life. Even death, the unbeliever can't face it because he does not have eyes to see. But the Christian says, when thinking about death or facing it, to die is gain. Far better to depart and what? Be with Christ. Far better. Because you have eyes to see it that way. The Christian lives by seeing God. The Christian is always lifting the eyes of their heart to focus on Him. Just Him. To see the Lord. Remember, we think about Jesus looking at Peter. But it was when Peter looked at Jesus that his heart melted in repentance. Hebrews 2 verse 9 says, now we do not yet see all things being subject to Christ, but we do see Jesus. The nearness of God is my good. Seeing the Lord breaks the power of temptation and sin. Seeing the Lord lifts your heart up to rejoice and have assurance. Seeing the Lord will fill you with faith in the Holy Spirit. Confusion, discouragement, and depression will flee when we look away and truly set our eyes upon our invisible God and Savior. So the Christian sees the Lord in all things, at work, in others, in sermons, and He becomes real to them by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And David said at one point in his journey, I have set the Lord always before me. Do you do that? Are your eyes on yourself more than on Him? Are your eyes on the waves and the fearful things and the chaos in the world more than you're looking at God? in Jesus Christ. Seeing the Lord, we press on. We look and see. Our eyes are looking. Psalm 24, David said, "Unto you I lift up my eyes, as the eyes of servants and handmaidens look to the eyes of their masters and their mistresses, so our eyes look unto you, to the Lord our God." Vernon Higham, a dear Welshman, wrote these words in his hymn. "I saw a new vision of Jesus, a view I'd not seen here before. Beholding in glory so wondrous, with beauty I had to adore. I stood on the shores of my weakness and gazed at the brink of such fear. 'Twas then that I saw him in newness, regarding him fair and so dear. Our God is the end of the journey, his pleasant and glorious domain. For there are the children of mercy who praise him for Calvary's pain." Our God is the end of the journey. My Savior will never forsake me, unveiling his merciful face. Now that sheds new light on Jesus' prayer in John 17, verse 24, where Jesus prayed this. Listen to his words. "Father, I desire that they whom you have given in me be with me, that they may see, behold, gaze upon my glory." Jesus prayed for you to see his glory, now in this life and in the future. Now just pause and think about it for a second and answer this question in your own minds. How is it that now I know and love someone, the someone, how is it that now I know and love someone I've never seen? And yet, he is the most real and precious to you. One who you've never seen is more precious to you than all those you have seen. Grandchildren, children, family, brethren. You've seen them all, but you love him more whom you've never seen. How is that possible to be real in your heart? You have seen him. You have seen him. You have eyes for him. You're seeing him all the time. And we're going to get eye exams this week. I don't know what it's going to produce, but it won't work on the eyes of my heart. Those must be refocused all the time by us, our hearts, looking. And may God give us all 20/20 spiritual vision to see the Lord now, both now and in the future. Time fails me to speak about the second point, but I'll just say a couple of things briefly. John said, "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it doesn't yet appear what we'll be. But we know that when we see him, we'll be like him." The future vision is going to be glorious. "In fullness, we shall see he whom our soul loves. Now we see him, then face to face, because the pure in heart see God." Well, let's bow in prayer. And I just want to call you, all of us, to this invitation this morning. I'm giving a gracious invitation to you to turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, more today than ever, more tomorrow than today, more the end of this year than the previous months of this year, more in the coming year than this year. Brethren, ask the Lord to give you eyes to see Him and respond to Him right now in these moments before we sing. Let's seek Him together. Our Father, we thank You for the blessed gift of spiritual sight and for the vision of God in Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, work this truth in us more deeply, more consistently. That our eyes would be Yours alone, to see everyone and all things through seeing You. Bless Your word. For the glory of Christ, Father, we pray. Amen.